We're so glad that you are with us at Cultivating Hearts. Grant, Emily, and Christina, and Miss Tara, myself, Sandy, are still studying Philippians 2. Imagine that. And last time we talked a lot about Timothy and how genuine he was with everything and how he was such a beloved worker of Paul's. And today we're going to go on and we're going to study the next guy. Okay, we'll see if I can say it. Epaphroditus.
Epaphroditus. Close? You know what? Say it loud, say it proud, and we don't care.
Epaphroditus.
So the rule of this show is if this is not how it's supposed to be said, then you say it correctly. This is how we're going to work through Epaphroditus.
Well, I was also going to say that we had talked about who our Paul is, who our Timothy is, and that we should all know that or at least ask God to show us somebody, because that's amazing how Paul and Timothy had that relationship.
It is. It is. And you know what? Take the time to let the people know you appreciate them.
Yeah,
that's a good
absolutely.
Thing, too, to hear that, because it's just nice to know, mm-hmm. you know? Okay, so we have here our passage in Philippians 2, 25 through 30, and I believe Grant's the one that's going to read it. Yes? No? Yes,
no,
it was Christina.
Me.
It was Christina. Actually, it was Christina. I said Grant, and then I went, no, it's Christina. Go ahead, Christina.
But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me.
Wow. Okay, so on Epaphroditus, I remember the first time I read about him, I was in Houston, Texas, and I was working on staff at Houston's First Baptist, and he is only spoken of this one time. That's it. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to read you the list that God gave me. In five verses, these are the things that are said about Epaphroditus. He's a brother, a worker, a fellow soldier, a messenger, a helper. He longs for the fellowship with the saints, a servant that's suffering, that deserves honor, risked his life for Jesus, and served where others could not serve, and was willing to go, even though it put him in danger. Mm-hmm. Wow. Like, if I were to only be spoken of one time, I would like that to be
no
the
kidding.
List spoken about me, right? Yeah. I mean, this man really ministered to Paul. And here Paul is in, you know, his house arrest, and this guy is sent, and we're told in Philippians, I think, 4:18, that the reason why Epaphroditus is there is because he's the one that was delivering the money mm-hmm. from the people of Philippi to Paul. And in the process of being there and assisting Paul, he got very ill, almost dies. And so the people of Philippi are worried. And because the people of Philippi are worried, you know, that's made Epaphroditus worried about his people because he doesn't want them worried. Mm-hmm. And it makes Paul worried because he's responsible for Epaphroditus. You know, it's just like that stress that you have when somebody you love is very, very mm-hmm. ill. And it sounds like he almost died.
Yeah. And I love it that he's distressed. Because he doesn't want them to worry about him. I love that about him.
It's very sweetheart. Yes. A very sweetheart. So thinking through a fellow laborer and what that might look like. So the things that I just read to you and Epaphroditus and thinking about what it means to be a fellow laborer, what do we learn from him that we need to be like as somebody that would be called a fellow laborer?
Well, I think he went beyond what he was asked. You know, beyond the call of duty. And I think as a fellow worker, we're in it together. You've got to remember that, and you're working alongside each other.
Right. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, with, like, being a fellow laborer, or, like, a fellow worker, it kind of has the idea, you know, like you just said, they're working alongside each other. It's not the kind of thing, like, where he has to be like, okay, I've got to be, like, picking up his slack. Like, he's there, but, you know, like, I also need to be helping him through this kind of thing. It's like, you know, he's like, I can be there with him, and he can be there with me, and we're just both doing it, and we don't have to, like, worry about the other. We just go together.
Right. Mm, that's so good.
And then pick up the slack of where it is needed. Mm-hmm. I think of birthday blessings, so, you know, I help with it, open door, and I was thinking about that last night when we did VBS, because at Birthday Blessings, people come and serve alongside of us. And it's just like we start decorating, we start getting things ready, and you don't even think about it. People just see what needs to be done, and they do it.
Right.
It's a great ministry.
It's so beautiful. I think the two people that have taught me the most about this is within at Grace is my it would be Catherine and Tori, my two RAs. Whenever I have my house open up, they're like our children.
Which is what, every day?
Yeah. they're like our children. I mean, they come out when they show up, and they know, they always ask me, can I come early? And and then they come in. I don't tell them. I think Tori vacuums my house pretty much on a regular basis, right? And I can't even tell you how many times I've walked into my kitchen and Catherine's taking care of the dishes or organizing things, you know, behind the scenes when I'm out getting people in the house or whatever, and they're taking care of the things I can't get to, but they know is important to me, and they're just doing it. I never have to say, would you do this? That's it's right. Just they get in and they get going, and I'm like, God, I want to be like that. And so this past week, we had the privilege of, we were at a wedding, and, you know, it's just, there was a need. And so we went in, and we just, we did it as a family, and some other people from Grace, and the parents and the wedding people, the people that got married, that just kept going, oh my goodness, I can't believe all that you guys did. And honestly, I would have to say it's because I'm learning that. I don't think I have that gift. I'm having to learn that. So I'm more conscious of it right now. I'm having to learn how to do it without being conscious. I'm still in the conscious stage. It's not unconscious for me. You know what I mean? Whereas for some people, I think it's unconscious. They just do it.
Yeah. They just have a servant's heart.
You're going to want to get closer to me. A servant's heart is what Emily just said. Yeah. It makes a big difference. Huge, huge. Okay, so thinking through Epaphroditus as well, one of the things that Holman Commentary stated that was really important, they said you got to recognize that Paul wanted to make sure that they knew he was a hero in the faith. The fact that he got sick did not mean that he was a failure.
Right.
Now, how often do we feel like because something happens and we can't do what we thought we were going to do,
that we failed?
That we have failed.
Yep.
Anybody have that? I don't know. I do.
I do.
Like if something gets in the way, messes up. Paul was very clear to them, you know, welcome him in the Lord. People like him need to be honored because he risked everything to do what you could not do and did it in your behalf. And that included almost dying. People like him are people that need to be honored. And so I thought that was pretty awesome because I think it's pretty easy sometimes for us to condemn if somebody can't do, you know, when they've been sent, oh, well, you know, cop out or whatever. And Paul's showing, no, they've gone to do what they were going to do, but they had a hindrance get in the way. We need to honor. And so
it does
happen. Yeah, and I thought that was pretty powerful. Principles that the Holman Commentary said that we needed to look at. As we're going to sum up this chapter, we've been looking at chapter 2, I think, for 3 months, right?
Could be.
So we're going to try to sum it up. Is it possible to sum up 3 months?
Yeah.
I love how Grant goes.
Maybe. You're my mom. I think yesterday when Grant was recording me, he's like, shorten it. You talk too much. Too much filler, Mom. The principles of the Holman New Testament Commentary, they say that we should get from this chapter is one that when we are united in Christ, we spread joy. When there's a spirit of oneness, joy is going to happen. God calls us all to be humble, and he calls us to serve others. And then sacrificial love is the result of God working in us. We cannot make it happen. When it comes to true sacrificial love, it's not going to occur unless God's the one making it happen. When you look out for the interest of others, you are looking out for the interest of Jesus, recognizing that. And so spread joy by spreading God's love. Thank you for Jesus' model of humility and humble attitude and acts of love. We need to seek to repair strained relationships and honor people by going the extra mile. Pretty good stuff, right? Like, oh, wow. All right. You guys are quiet.
We're thinking.
Am I talking? I'm talking too
much.
No,
we're just thinking.
Okay. So now I'm going to pull out my grid. I posted on Facebook a grid of what I had because I was, it hit me hard because when I have ever studied Philippians before, and I've studied it before, I've always seen how we see Jesus' model of humility. I've always seen Epaphroditus's. And then I saw Timothy's at some point, but the two that stood out first to me were Jesus and Epaphroditus. And then later on in life, Timothy came out. But as I was looking at this last night, I was blown away. I'm like, oh my goodness, there are five types of humility examples given to us. The words that he gives to the people of Philippi and how they want to act, and I put that in the category, that's us, because he's telling the believers, this is what you need to be like. He gives us the example of Jesus. He gives him himself. He actually talks about himself and what he longs for and wants. He gives us Timothy and he gives us Epaphroditus. So what I was thinking I would do is I'm going to go through and I'm going to give us each so that we can just kind of look at it. The challenge, right? The first challenge he gives is about the people of Philippi. Their whole letter is telling them what he wants. And so when I summed it up, these are the descriptions that I came up with. He wanted them to be encouraged. He wants them to comfort. He wants them to love. He wants them to have the fellowship with the Spirit. He wants them to have tender hearts. He wants them to be compassionate. He wants them to agree with one another. He wants them to love one another. He wants them to work together, have one mind, one purpose, to be selfless, to be humble, to think of others, to put others' interests first, and to have the attitude of Christ. So that's like my list of what I used as descriptive words of what he called out in them. What are you guys' thoughts on that? What do you think of that list? Because that's us. Mm-hmm. What do you think's the key part?
The key part of, like, of all of those? Like, mm-hmm. the one that, I mean, like, without trying to sound too cliche, you know, like, it's, you know, Jesus yes. is the key part. Because, you know, if we're trying to act like Jesus, then all of those things are just going to come naturally.
Exactly.
That's you're not going to so have to good. Focus on each individual one. It'll just be...
Mm-hmm. Oh, how'd you get so smart?
He reads his Bible.
I know. Actually, he does. He was 7 when he started reading through his Bible.
Really?
Yes. He, I'm going to brag on you for a second. Forgive me. I don't mean this in a mean way or bad way, prideful way. I mean it just to show as an example. I found a 7-minute Bible for children. And so it's the Bible in chronological order. And 7 minutes a day, a child could read through the Bible from cover to cover. And so that's, I gave it to him at Christmas and gave him the challenge. And Grant was so faithful in reading his little 7-minute Bible that he read through it and completed his 7-minute Bible. And I think he did it through one time for certain, and I think he completed it almost twice. But what's crazy is that when he did get to reading the regular Bible, where it wasn't like in story form for a child, he was like, well, this wasn't in there. You know, I mean, he was actually catching that because he had read it, you know, things that were new that he didn't necessarily have in his child Bible, which was kind of fun, which is really exciting to see. And it is Jesus. So let's look at Jesus's list.
Okay.
All right. He's equal to God, yet did not choose equality. He gave up divine privilege. Literally left heaven, mm-hmm. came to earth, took a humble position as a slave, was born as a human, though divine, sinless, humbled himself, he was obedient to God, died a criminal's death, elevated to the place of highest honor, every knee will bow before him, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Mm-hmm. So these are all the things that we learn about Jesus in this passage. It's so beautiful. Mm. I was reading in Holman commentary, and they said, this is actually, no, it wasn't the Holman commentary. Actually, it may have been in my, what is this Bible? What is this one? I don't even know what I'm reading right now. The Life Application Study Bible. It was in the Life Application Study Bible. It said that all core theology that we need on Jesus is right here. Like, if you want a good, solid theology, get Philippians 2 in your heart and you will have a good core theology about Jesus, because the words that he actually writes about Jesus was most likely at that time a song. And they sang it over and over about Jesus, and that's how they got to know who he was and how they were able to remember through oral tradition. And so I thought that was pretty cool. All right. So what do we learn about Paul? You guys have any thoughts about Jesus before I go to Paul?
He's pretty cool.
I love that.
I like that too, Emily. That's awesome. All right, let's Paul. This is what Paul's, we can take from Paul. Paul, people follow his instructions because he tells them, he goes, you know, like, you followed my instructions before, but now that I'm gone, you need to keep following. People, he longs for the results in their salvation. He wants them to have results. He longs for them to not grumble and complain. He doesn't want them to be grousers. He challenges them to shine like the stars in the universe. He challenges them to hold firmly to the word. He's willing to be a liquid offering. He's willing to die. He has joy in them, and he rejoices in them, and he wants them to rejoice with him. Mm. And so these are the things that are the leader's heart. This is, as a leader, these are the things I should be longing for my people. Mm-hmm. So I should know that I can give instructions. They're going to listen. I should be wanting them to grow and testing and working out their salvation. I want to see them not grumbling and complaining. I want them shining. I want them in the Word. I want them to rejoice and rejoicing in the things of God with me.
And I want to interject here. Tara has that posted on her Facebook if you're interested in this chart.
Yes, or you can email me at tararye.com or opendoormission.org. You can contact me through either place. Yeah. And so that you can get the chart. And then the other two sections are what we learned about Timothy and Epaphroditus. And so those we've already talked about. And so I want us to, we've gone through these lists, lots of summations of good characteristics. Each of us, I want you to choose one characteristic that you want to pray into your life.
Lots of them.
From so either person?
Any of them. Everyone. Like any of them. If whether it's to be Paul, like the leader, or Timothy as the, you know, fellow laborer, Epaphroditus as the messenger, or us, the things that he's challenging, or things that you want to grow in Christ. Has anybody got one?
Selflessness.
Okay.
Yeah. Mine, just obedient to God, just in everything I do.
Okay. It's good.
Mine would be attitude of Christ, because I think most of my sin comes from me just having an attitude of, like, pleasing myself.
I think one of the ones I might choose is challenge them to shine like stars in the universe, because I just really want, like, everything I do to, like, just lead others right back to God. Like, everything I do is not, like, I, like, make some, like, mistake, and they're like, oh, you know, like, you know, he said he's a Christian. I want it all to be for him so people see him.
Right.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I want to serve well in suffering. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.